Genesis chapter 3, 8 to 13. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" The man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some from fruit from the tree, and I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate."
Okay, let's pray before we get into God's word. Father God, we pray that now as we look at those verses that we just heard read, that you would work in each of our hearts, Lord, that you would be opening our eyes to understand the mercy and grace you've shown us through Jesus, and that you would reveal to us today what you have for us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Sometimes the consequences of our actions don't feel as scary as the idea of someone else finding out. Maybe you've backed your car into a pole or something like that, something you should have seen, and it's the dent's bad enough, but the embarrassment of other people finding out is worse. Maybe you've injured yourself in some silly way, doing something you shouldn't have. Or maybe you've done something or said something that you just really wish you could take back. Sometimes the thought of someone else finding out what you've done is worse than paying the consequences. As many of you already know, I received some pretty serious burns when I made a series of really silly mistakes with some old gunpowder. Now, you guys don't know, so if you want to ask me in morning tea, go for it. And if you've ever been burnt badly, you'll know how painful a burn can be. And it was certainly painful as I was lying on that hospital bed. But as I lay there, it wasn't the constant pain of those burns that was worrying me the most. It was the shame of having to tell people what I'd done. I kept thinking to myself, how could I have possibly done something so silly at my age? But with the burns that I'd received on my face and hands, there was no way I could pretend it hadn't happened. There's no way I could keep it a secret. And the shame of having to own up to what I'd done was honestly harder to cope with than the constant throbbing of those burns. And if there's any way I could have kept it a secret, I absolutely would have. Now, around a week after I received those burns, I was over in the medical center having my wounds redressed when the nurse who was attending to me asked me what had happened. And because I felt ashamed of myself having made such a silly decision, I told her that I'd been burnt by chemicals, which wasn't a lie, but it wasn't completely the truth. The nurse listened to my explanation, redressed my wounds, and then went off to go and talk to another nurse. I didn't know at the time how important it would be, but that second nurse knew me. This second nurse came in and asked me what had happened. And because I knew her, I thought, I'm going to have to own up. So I owned up and told her what had happened. And then she went back to speak to the other nurse. Now, I found out later that because I'd been so cagey about what had happened to this first nurse, she was actually about to report me to the police for having an unexplained set of burns with a really suspicious excuse. Shame often causes us to make bad decisions that only compound our pain. Shame can cause us to react in ways that we never would normally, as we avoid sharing our pain and our failures with others, for fear of their reaction or the possibility that someone else might find out. Shame can cause us to keep the people who care about us at arm's length, as we convince ourselves that no one else will understand. And it can keep us from experiencing the confidence and peace of knowing that we've been forgiven through Jesus. But in today's passage, we are being reminded that the only way to remove our guilt and shame is by bringing it out into the light, as scary as that may seem, and by laying our sins and shame at the foot of the only one who has the power to do anything about it. We've all sinned against God, but there is freedom and forgiveness to be found in Jesus. As chapter 2 ended, chapter 2 of Genesis, that is, Adam and Eve were in the perfect paradise that God had created for them. They had everything they could ever want, including each other. And as that chapter closed, we were told that they were both naked and felt no shame at all. They were completely innocent. They were completely good. Everything about the way they thought, acted, and cared for each other was completely good. And so neither of them had any reason to feel any kind of shame, not about their actions, not even about their nakedness, because all of their thoughts and actions were only good. But we heard last week, as we looked at the beginning of chapter 3, after Adam and Eve had sinned against God by eating from the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, shame entered their hearts. And so in a futile attempt to try and cover their shame, they tried to clothe themselves with fig leaves. Now that they had rebelled against God by eating of that fruit, there was nothing that either of them could do to take their sin and shame away. The perfect paradise they were living in had been corrupted by sin. And their sin and shame was already starting to affect their relationships with each other, before it even affected their relationship with God. And so Adam and Eve, as they heard God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, as they would have no doubt heard many times before, out of shame, tried to hide themselves from God's presence. They knew that they had broken God's command by eating that fruit. And the shame of what they had done was making them run from God to try and save themselves from the consequences of their sin. And so as they tried to hide themselves from God's presence, God called out to them and he said, "Where are you?" Now, of course, God knew where they were all along. He knew what they had done all along. God was giving Adam and Eve an opportunity to own up to what they'd done. He was giving them an opportunity to confess their sins and to call on him for mercy. But their shame was getting in the way. They were still looking for a way out. They were still looking for a way to hide from what they had done. But there was nowhere to hide. No tree, no bush, or fig leaf for that matter was going to cover the guilt of their sins. And so Adam was forced to come clean. It says in verse 10, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." Adam had stood in front of God completely naked on many other occasions, and there was no problem then. It wasn't his physical nakedness that was causing him fear and shame. It was the fear that Adam was feeling over God knowing what he had done. And there's no physical kind of garment that can ever take away that kind of nakedness. And God asked, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat?" Again, God already knew the answer, but he was giving them a second opportunity to own up to what they'd done. Rather than accepting their guilt and shame, both Adam and Eve, they both tried to deflect the blame onto someone else. Their first response, the very first response to ever being called out on sin, was to act as a victim rather than owning up to what they'd done. God had only given them good things. He had only given them one command, and that command wasn't designed to restrict them or oppress them in any kind of way, but to protect them from the consequences that they were now having to deal with. Despite all of the good things that God had given them, their shame was causing them to act as victims. And as crazy as it sounds, after all of the wonderful gifts that God had given to Adam and Eve, Adam's first person he blames is God. He says, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree and I ate it." As far as Adam was concerned, he wasn't to blame for what he had done. It was God's fault for putting the woman in the garden with him, and it was the woman's fault for giving him the fruit. Shame was causing Adam to act in ways that he never would have normally. It was causing him to blame God for giving him good things. Back in chapter 2, Adam was totally overjoyed when God gave him the woman. And he basically broke out in song and said, "This is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She should be called woman, for she was taken out of man." But now that Adam was filled with shame, shame was affecting his thinking. It was affecting his heart. And he was looking for any way he could to deflect the blame from himself. And so he didn't just blame God, he also blamed Eve, his wife. Sin was driving a wedge between the relationship between man and God and man and his wife. The innocence and oneness that Adam and Eve felt back in chapter 2 was now shattered. And they were both looking for someone else to blame. And so when God confronted Eve, she did the same. Rather than confessing her sins, she blamed the serpent, saying that he had deceived her. She wasn't taking any responsibility for her choices either. We're all created to be in relationship with God. And God only ever wants what is best for each of us. But sadly, when sin entered God's creation, it damaged our relationship with God and our relationships with each other. Adam and Eve felt ashamed because their innocence was now gone. They tried to cover their shame by putting fig leaves on, sewing them together and trying to cover their nakedness, and by trying to hide from God in the garden. But nothing they could do was able to hide that guilt and shame before God. Both Adam and Eve lost sight of all of the good things that God had given them, and they allowed themselves to entertain the idea that God was holding back on them, and that led them into sin. It wasn't the serpent who caused them to sin. He only planted the idea in their minds, and they allowed that idea to grow and grow and grow until it manifested itself as sin. And now they and every one of their descendants are led to face the consequences. There are only three options when it comes to the shame of our sin. We can try and hide from it and do everything we can to keep others from finding out. But no matter what we try, sooner or later, all our sin will come out in the open. We can blame somebody else for it. We can claim to be a victim. And sometimes we will convince people that we are, but we will never convince God. Or we can confess our sin, acknowledge our guilt before him, and trust in him. Trust him to do what is best for us. If we let it, shame can cause us to run from God, either by trying to hide our sin, by blaming others, or by denying that we've sinned even in the first place. But no matter how hard we try and run, we cannot run from God. We are all spiritually naked before him. There is no sin that any of us have ever committed, no matter how small, no matter how secret, that he doesn't know about. We can try to run. We can fool ourselves, but we will never fool God. Adam and Eve let their shame cause them to run from the only one who has the power to deliver them from the consequences of their sin. And as they ran, it was God who went to them in mercy. God came and found them as they were hiding. He went to where they were at, and he began to deal with the consequences of their actions. When we hold on to unconfessed sin, when we're trying to hide the guilt and shame of what we have done from our brothers and sisters in Christ, it drives a wedge between us and it divides the body of Christ. It results in dishonesty, inauthentic and broken relationships caused by blame, accusations, and lies. But when we confess our sin and acknowledge them before the Lord and before our brothers and sisters in Christ, as hard as that may be, the power of sin is completely taken away. And the shame we feel no longer has a power over us. It sets us free. It's much better to be honest about our failings and grow in our relationships with each other and with the Lord. Because unconfessed and undealt with sin drives a wedge between us and every other relationship we are in, including our relationship with God. It was shame that caused Adam and Eve to claim that they were victims of someone else's actions. But it was mercy and grace that caused Jesus, the greater Adam, the only man who ever walked this earth, to have no sin of his own. It was mercy who caused him to take our sins upon himself, to take our guilt and shame on himself, and to die the death that we deserve to die because of the consequences of our sin. He willingly took our sin upon himself so that we might receive mercy rather than judgment. And God raised him from the dead 3 days later so that we might know for certain the hope of life forever in his presence, in God's new creation. 1 John chapter 1, verses 9 and 10 says, "If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." The unrighteousness it's speaking about there is our sin. Then it goes on to say, "If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, just as Satan did in the garden, and his word is not in us." Sometimes, even the serious consequences of our actions don't feel as bad as someone else finding out what we've done. But if we let our shame keep us from dealing with our sin, it will cause a great deal of damage to our relationship with others and our relationship with God. So as we reflect on what we've heard this morning, let's reflect on James chapter 4. Verses 7 to 10. James chapter 4, verses 7 to 10. "Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before God, and he will lift you up." This would have been excellent advice for Adam and Eve in the garden, and it is excellent advice for us as well. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Let's pray. Father God, we confess that we have all tried to hide the guilt and shame of our sins. Lord, we've all tried to keep others from finding out, feeling as though they don't understand what we're going through, or they would never forgive us for that action, Lord. Help us to be people who are quick to own up to our wrongs, quick to bring them to the cross, quick to confide in our brothers and sisters in Christ. We pray that no shame, no undealt with sin would cause any divisions amongst this congregation. We pray that you would help us to hand our sins over to you, And Lord, we thank you for the hope we have only because of what you have done, the hope that we have in Christ Jesus, because you willingly took our sin upon yourself and laid it on the cross. Lord, we thank you for this wonderful hope, this wonderful gift. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.